Artificial intelligence is everywhere, and it's not going away. But what should Christians make of it? Is it something to fear, something to embrace, or something that simply needs wisdom? In this episode, Tommy and Anton talk all things AI through the lens of biblical principle, covering what it is, where it can help, and where it can harm. This isn't a conversation for tech experts. It's a conversation for Christians trying to live faithfully in a world that's changing faster than we can keep up with. Here is episode 96 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hey everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. I've got a guest here to discuss maybe a sensitive topic. I respect his wisdom. Welcome, Anton.
Good to be back.
Anton, we got a question, and it's a question on AI, artificial intelligence. And I think the two words, artificial intelligence, actually describes what it is. It's artificial, but it's intelligent because it searches the web, and that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Now, caveat to all the listeners, I'm not a student or qualified AI developer. I'm limited in my understanding. I use it. AI is developing as we speak. There's probably another 50 million different applications. Big companies use it. Individuals uses it. And we might even re-record this podcast episode in 2 years' time because it develops so quickly.
Yeah.
So, as of today, that's what we're going to discuss, just what we know and what we are comfortable with in using it and help people not to fear this machine.
Yeah.
What is AI, Anton?
Well, this is now to some degree outside the realm of my expertise, but I do think it's helpful for pastors to be thinking through these sorts of things without needing to be an expert. You don't need to be an expert obstetrician to say that abortion is murder. Mm. You don't need to be a law expert to say that certain laws that get made by ungodly countries are ungodly. So I think it's helpful for Christians to be thinking it through, because there are the experts and then there's like everyday life, and this is part of everyday life. Mm. We've had some humorous examples recently of AI in everyday life. But what is AI? I would say that the way that most people are interacting with it, it's got to do with these large language models. So it's text-based or voice-based interactions with a machine where this machine can analyze questions that you give it. And honestly, it's a massive step forward in terms of previous ways of interacting with a computer. Mm. But it's able to really interact with you in a very human feeling way. And I think that's where the challenge comes in, is this seems to be blurring some lines.
Yeah, that's helpful. I've sat in lectures from exco board members of Google, Microsoft, just on AI, and it was really helpful for me to hear, like you just said, now it's talking to a machine. So you don't call it's a machine.
Yeah.
One. Two, that's why we don't have to be afraid of them. It,
yeah,
she, he, whatever it is, because it's still just a machine. It's not something that's going to take on human form because of Genesis 3.
Yeah.
God created man in his own image. And if God does not create, then it's not human being. There's no soul involved. It's not going to terminate us.
Well, I suppose, I mean, you can get run over by a train. So there's a certain healthy fear. But I think that's an interesting point, because I think that you could argue from the Bible that it isn't going to be a true intelligence in the sense of being self-conscious, in the sense of having its own unique thoughts, things like that. It's still a mathematical algorithm that mimics life. And I do find it interesting just how there's this blurring of lines in modern day society where humans are becoming a little bit more like machines. So we want to do away with he, she distinctions, and we want to make machines and animals more like humans. There's definitely a spiritual aspect to all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think we should not be afraid because of our Christian convictions on creation. But Romans 1, I think there's a blur of becoming lazy in our thinking, perverse in our thinking as human beings. And that's exactly it. Machines becoming more human, humans becoming more machine-like.
And of course, someone's behind all this. And I'm not talking about someone, you know, like some super powerful individual. But the fact is, we do have to remember these things are made by companies that have a particular way of thinking about the world. They have a particular goal. The stuff costs a lot of money. It's being freely made available to us to just use.
Yeah.
That's not philanthropic.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of the fact that while the machine itself may not be something that we need to fear or that we need to worry about in terms of we're going to be replaced by it, nevertheless, we always have to be keeping our minds on the fact that there is sin in the world.
Yeah. And that's a good balance, I think, even for me, as I think through this, that it's not human, it's a machine. But the people who design it do have ulterior motives. So I just need to be careful with.
Yeah.
And three, the other danger or caution is it's a machine that has access to everything, not your personal stuff, but every digital record, which makes it so powerful.
Yeah.
So if I ask it a question, it searches every little nook and cranny on the web. And that's why it's so quick and so detailed, powerful, that you can have a conversation with them, because your conversation, it's not unique. There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes. That conversation happened and he just accesses that and converses with you. So it feels human-like, but it's just because he's got access to a gazillion amount of information.
Yeah. Look at you falling into the trap of calling it a he. And that's why sometimes these large language models can hallucinate and give you lies, because the fact is there's lies out there, and it's only as good as the inputs.
Yeah.
There's a common phrase that I've heard a lot of people in the IT world use, is garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So it's only as good as its input.
Yeah.
But what I do think this is really highlighting, it's really highlighting or causing us to think about what it actually means to be human.
Mm.
And of course, that's a bigger discussion.
Mm.
But in Doug Wilson's book, Productivity, he really explores technology, and he argues that it's a form of wealth.
Mm.
So the Bible doesn't speak directly to technology, but it speaks to wealth. How do we handle wealth?
Mm.
And I do think we need to be able to view life in those categories. These things make our lives a lot simpler in many ways. We're able to be more productive.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, we need to ensure that we are being productive the way God made us. Mm. The Bible speaks about fruitfulness. It doesn't speak about efficiency, because the machine is going to be much better at it than we are.
Yeah.
But the machine is never going to be able to do the things that we do as well as we do it. And people would argue about that. They would say, no, it will. And you look and you think, okay, well, how well can I draw a picture versus this machine?
Mm.
But the fact is, it's a closed system. All it can do is rearrange stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you see that, I mean, you talked about a joke, or you referred to a joke we had with AI, you and I putting our faces on all kinds of characters. But but you could even see in the image, it just regenerates the previous image and it actually gets worse.
Yeah.
It leaves out stuff. So it can't use its own, it's not intelligent.
It's not truly creative.
No, it's artificial intelligent. So it's not going to be as creative as my created being brain God gave me, because it just scours and researches on the internet. That's its base, that's its limit.
Which is always how sin works. Sin always takes something that's already good and twists it. So yeah, it is. It's just, I think part of the image of God in us is creativity. If you look at the fact that God created the earth, he created the universe, and then he made man in his image, it's not all of it, but part of what it means to be made in the image of God is that we have the ability to create in a similar way. We can't make out of nothing, but I think we can rearrange things in a unique sense that a machine cannot do.
Yeah,
a machine can... It's got vast resources, And it's very good at putting things together in different ways, but it will never be a human.
Yeah. Yeah, this Google exec that I spoke to, she just said, like you said, garbage in, garbage out. But all she said is the product that you get out of AI is only as good as what you put in, exactly what you said. So if you say, please design me a boat. Okay, well, what is that? Is it a canoe? Is it a rubber duck? Is it a yacht? Is it a cruise liner? What do you want from me? So it'll just give you a pencil drawing of every kid, the little triangle with whatever. But if you're going to start putting in from your creative mind, I want this dimension, this kind of boat, these colors, it needs to house these many people, go around the world with this. So again, it's your creativity that informs that thing to just give it as quicker than you can produce them.
Right. It's a tool. The way that we use other tools is we have to be the master. We have to be taking dominion.
Correct. Yeah. But now from there, I like how you brought that in. Thank you for that. It's a tool. So now, being productive, so there are dangers of using this tool, but there could also be very fruitful ways of using this tool. So let's go into the dangerous realm of what you feel you're comfortable in using it for and I'm comfortable in using it for. The danger that I've seen just in my own life is that I skip processes that I should actually go through to keep my mind not becoming lazy.
Yeah.
So it's so quick. Just give me the structure of the sermon. I'm not even looking at the text. This thing, because it scours all kinds of sermons, gives me the structure or the emphasis or the main meaning of the text of this text verse or passage, whatever the common denominator over this. So that includes Joel Osteen, Mark Dever, MacArthur, T.D. Jakes. It scours everything and it gives me one thing. And I've seen that where I wrote my sermon and it was done. For all the listeners, I don't
know. Yeah, I was just going to say, Tommy's using this as an example. He's not, doesn't do this.
No, but I tested this. So I worked out my sermon. It was done. I asked it. And man, it was kind of scary how accurate it was. But then when I went through it, I counted, I think, 5 different sections of my sermon or of this thing's sermon that I could see. It's like, that must be a prosperity gospel preacher. It must be this. It must be this false teacher. That at face value, it looks great. But then as you read it, you're like, whoa, where did you get this? So you can't trust it completely. So you need to be careful with becoming lazy and just trusting it because you're lazy. You don't actually do the work.
I think that laziness is one of the biggest things. And there is value in the process, which again is why I really like that biblical category of fruitfulness.
Mm.
Because everyone knows that synthetic versions of things is never as good, it's never as nutritious as the actual thing.
Yeah.
But the actual thing takes time to grow, it needs sunlight, it needs water, it needs, you know, you got to weed. There's processes involved, but at the end of the day, the product is better. It's like aged wine is going to be much better. There's probably a way of making wine like overnight, but it's not going to be as good. And I think sometimes we assume that the process is just an evil that we would like to be without. But actually, there's some value in it. I think that this push to say we, you know, one day everyone just gets a basic income and we won't actually have to do any work, will be, if you think there's suicides now, there'll be so. Work is not a bad thing. Yeah. Work is good. Work is part of what it means to be a human. And so we shouldn't just try and avoid the work. So that laziness is a big deal. But the other one that I see is a big deal is integrity, which goes out the window. We'll steal. I'll say this is my work, when in fact it isn't. It's not my thoughts. It's not anything of mine. It's plagiarism. It's just not a human being. It's a machine.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. I think the good way to use it, I've got a friend and he actually argues with this thing, just for his own mind to think through an issue. I don't want to argue with Anton, so I'm going to plug in a statement in this and say, argue against this statement from an atheist position. And he would adopt it, argue, and then I push back from a reformed position. So it just sharpens him, his mind, in actually having a conversation, a debate with this machine from an, because this machine can take on any person, a personality even. Instead of going out to the street and kind of mess it up, he sharpens himself. So that's a good way of, but again, it's his work. It's not, hey, work out my sermon or write myself, write a prayer for me because I need to pray wherever. And it spits out a prayer or a sermon or, yeah. But writing emails, have you done that?
Generally, no, because that's something I wrote an article on that recently. I'm pretty good at writing things myself.
Mm.
But I do find it helpful that it'll suggest things. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It saves me the time to type it.
Mm.
But sometimes I think, oh, this thing actually said it better than I was going to say.
Mm. Just because it's got access to the Oxford Dictionary and grammar and all that kind of stuff that just makes it a little bit tighter or shortens it or says it in a different way. But it's still your thoughts. That's the key.
Maybe one other danger before I say how I use it, and this is always going to be a challenge with any type of development, is do we lose some skills in the process, which, you know, we only realized later was a big deal.
Mm.
I think, you know, you and I have lived through pre-digital world, and so you had to learn the analog way, and now you can really appreciate the digital way, but you still understand what goes into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what the detrimental effects of people using this who actually can't analyze why an answer is wrong.
Mm.
So I've been told by friends of mine where, you know, they'll feed something in, it gives out some completely wrong result, and the junior just, yeah, okay. But they don't actually know, like, how did this machine get to that result? So anyway, that's just something I think we have to be careful of.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe this is part of the conversation of how we use it. I think for me personally, when I do use it for sermon prep, things like if I preach through the prophets, instead of going through all the encyclopedias and dictionaries and whatever else to see which king did this prophet actually prophesy to, I can do that. It's quick, it's research that's available for everyone.
Especially because you already know the answer, you're just trying to jog your memory, so you can easily verify whether this is giving you a complete nonsense or not.
Yeah.
You'll recognize straight away whether it's right. Whereas if you're going to ask it some really complex question about something you've never heard of, you might get nonsense.
Yeah. So I use that, but I never use it to, like I said before, writing my own prayers for the pastoral prayer. I would never do that because that's a personal connection with the word and with God and with the congregation. That's relational. Yeah.
Something duplicitous about doing that.
And where does this thing get it from? Is it a prayer from the Puritans, or is it a prayer from Creflo Dollar, or is it a prayer from wherever, the prayer book of Satan? So where do you get that from? And it's not your own words that you're going to speak as your own. So the plagiarism, so there's danger there.
I've come up with a way it's kind of a quick way to analyze whether what I'm going to use it for is legitimate or not. It's to say, if I would legitimately give this task to a PA to do, if I was wealthy enough to have a PA to just help me with my personal life, if I would give this to a PA, then I'll give it to AI.
Mm.
You know, for example, like, you know, you get like a Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm.
It just wouldn't be legit if he had commissioned others to do his work. You would have lost a great genius.
Yeah.
So anything that's going to require my speech, that's got to come from me.
Yeah.
But if I want to check, what was the scripture reference of that passage that speaks about, you know, children?
Yeah.
Then I'll type the passage in and say, where does this come from? You know, it's easy to, quicker to do it that way. Yeah. Or if I want to know, I've used it for learning a language.
Mm.
You can actually speak to it. You can ask it, how do you say this?
Mm.
It's just quicker than trying to consult a dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, little things like transcription. It's much better at transcribing than just your phone.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just record an episode like this, and then someone doesn't have to sit and type out the
manuscript. Turn this into an article.
Yeah.
But it's our intellectual property that thing just uses to typeset.
Yeah. On something like that, personally, I would still like to have a note to say this was how it was arrived. Mm-hmm. And so in medicine, we often use dictation mm-hmm. for clinical notes. Yeah. But from a legal point of view, it's actually helpful to have a little note saying this was dictated and mm-hmm. not checked or mm-hmm. whatever the case mm-hmm. is, just in case it throws something in there. But I think that that's not theft.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was your words, your thoughts, that it was just rearranged or written down like a scribe. Paul used scribes to write your words and your thoughts.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful. Any other way you use it?
I'm trying to think.
The other day I was making oats. It's really good. I'm going to show you. I mean, it is, my friend of mine calls it hot oats.
Yeah.
My kids calls it mush. So it's basically a cup of oats that you blend. You fine grind the oats, which actually makes it more sweeter. Anyway, I'm getting distracted here. But anyway, you pour that in. And then I was like, oh, how many cups of, and this is the other thing, not water, but milk. So you boil it with milk, which makes it creamier and sweeter and whatever. And I was like, what's the ratio? And I just said, Gemini, what's the ratio for oats versus milk? And it just said, one cup of oats, two cups of milk. Thank you very much.
Really helpful.
Yeah, helpful.
Stupid little things like unit conversions. I know that there's other tools for that. This is like using a spaceship to go to the spa shop, but it's really useful.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so then you cook it with two cups of milk, and you break in, when it gets all mushy, you break in two eggs for extra protein, but it's brilliant. It's really good. Anyway, I've used it before in saying, listen, my insurance company quoted me this, the other one quoted this, or I pull in the two documents and I say, can you please just compare?
Yeah, and you know what's really a good tool for that? Because there it's still using everything on the internet. There's something called Google Notebook LM, I think, where you can specify the sources. So you can put those documents in and then it can ignore everything else. Yeah. And then it really is just analyzing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What it is.
Analyzing what?
I've used it before. Can you please give me the cheapest and the best route down to Durban? So it goes toll routes or not toll routes or whatever. So those kind of things. But it's again, it's your thoughts filtering in. It's not make me this.
Or how do I change the setting on my phone? You know, I can sit and fiddle for 5 minutes. But actually, I don't have that time. Like, just tell me how to do it because, you know, I'm never going to have to do this in my life again.
Yeah. The other day, I looked at a very nice wooden couch and I pulled in the photo from Amazon and I said, work out all the material and dimensions of this couch. And it gave me the plank sizes, the screws that I would need. I mean, it's genius. But still, I need to go and put it together and whatnot. But yeah. So what I hear you saying, Anton, is make sure that it's your own thoughts, your own ideas, your own words that you put into the machine, and garbage in, garbage out, and not say, create this. Write me a prayer on whatever, sin, a forgiveness of sin, and then you come pray it at church. Or write me a sermon on John 3:16, and then you go preach it in the pulpit.
I would see, maybe as my final thoughts, to sum up, I would say, don't see work as a curse. Be thinking in terms of being fruitful, not efficient. And so if this can help you to be fruitful, great. So if you can get rid of some menial task, which allows you to do more of what really matters, do that. But don't try and use it to shirk work.
Mm.
Be fruitful, not efficient. And anything that you would assign to a PA without guilt, without feeling like I'm taking someone else's work, I think is legitimate use.
Yeah. Well, that's really helpful. Thank you so much. For all the listeners, don't be afraid of AI. They're not going to take over the world, but use it wisely. Until next time, send in some more questions that we can discuss. Looking forward to it.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.